In my sleep, I was zipping up Kumiko's dress. I could see her smooth white back. But by the time I got the zip to the top, I realized it was not Kumiko, but Krita Kano. She and I were the only ones in the room. It was the same room as in the last dream, a room in the same hotel suite. On the table was a bottle of Cutty Sark and two glasses. There was also a stainless steel ice bucket full of ice. In the corridor outside, someone was passing by, speaking in a loud voice. I couldn't catch the words, which seemed to be in a foreign language. An unlit chandelier hung from the ceiling. The only illumination in this murky room came from lamps mounted on the wall. Again, the windows had thick curtains that were closed tight. Krita Kano was wearing a summer dress of Kumiko's, pale blue with an openwork pattern of birds. The skirt came up just above her knees. As always, her makeup was in the Jacqueline Kennedy style. On her left wrist, she wore a pair of matching bracelets. "How did you get that dress?" I asked. "Is it yours?" Krita Kano looked at me and shook her head. When she did this, the curled tips of her hair moved in a pleasant way.
"No, it is not mine," she said. "I'm borrowing it. But don't worry, Mr. Okada. This is not causing anyone any difficulty."
"Where are we?" I asked. Krita Kano didn't answer. As before, I was sitting on the edge of the bed. I wore a suit and my polka dot tie.
"You don't have to think about a thing, Mr. Okada," said Krita Kano. "There is nothing to worry about. Everything is going to be fine."
And again, as before, she unzipped my fly, took out my penis, and put it in her mouth. The one thing different from before was that she did not take off her own clothing. She wore Kumiko's dress the whole time. I tried to move, but it felt as if my body were tied down by invisible threads. I felt myself growing big and hard inside her mouth. I saw her fake eyelashes and curled hair tips moving. Her bracelets made a dry sound against each other. Her tongue was long and soft and seemed to wrap itself around me. Just as I was about to come, all of a sudden, she moved away and began slowly to undress me. She took off my jacket, my tie, my trousers, my shirt, my underwear, and made me lie down on the bed. She kept on her own clothes, though. She sat on the bed, took my hand, and brought it under her dress. She was not wearing panties. My hand felt the warmth of her vagina. It was deep, warm, and very wet. My fingers were all but sucked inside.
"Won't Noboru Wataya be here any minute?" I asked.
"Weren't you expecting him?" Instead of answering, Krita Kano touched my forehead.
"You don't have to think, Mr. Okada. We'll take care of all that. Leave everything to us."
"To us?" I asked. But there was no reply. Then Krita Kano mounted me and used her hand to slip me inside her. Once she had me deep inside, she began a slow rotation of her hips. As she moved, the edges of the pale blue dress caressed my naked stomach and thighs. With the skirts of the dress spread out around her, Krita Kano, riding me, looked like a soft, gigantic mushroom that had silently poked its face up through the dead leaves on the ground and opened under the sheltering wings of night. Her vagina felt warm and at the same time cold. It tried to envelop me, to draw me in, and at the same time to force me out. My erection grew larger and harder. I felt I was about to burst wide open, It was the strangest sensation, something that went beyond simple sexual pleasure.